let's move on a little bit. So we discussed last time, we discussed two times ago, the basics of in terms of the background for Bishul Akum. And then we discussed the exceptions. I'm sorry, we discussed the types of food that, right, the exceptions. Where does Bishul Akum not apply? So our main focus last time was on Davar Shenechal Kemos Shehu Chai, something which is eaten raw. So I actually had a fascinating question today. I didn't have a chance to think about it more. It makes sense at first glance, but the ramifications were too big that I did not answer the question yet. Somebody asked me about soups and Bishul Akum. Soups and Bishul Akum. So what was the person was learned? He said, it's a vegetable soup. Most of the vegetables, the overwhelming majority of the vegetables, can be eaten raw. The water can be consumed raw. So there was maybe some potatoes in there, but they're probably going to be batel. We'll see later on. You don't need bitel berov when it comes to Bishul Akum. We're actually gonna have a discussion about potatoes also. Potatoes might not be olah shulchan melachim. That's gonna be the first source that we're actually gonna see. We're gonna see today. We'll discuss a lot about potatoes. So is it possible that maybe a soup is not a problem of Bishul Akum? So again, I haven't finished thinking it through yet. On the surface, he's 100% right, and it should not be a problem of Bishul Akum. Again, assuming that, again, if you're making like a bean soup or something like that, where that's one of the main ingredients, beans are not, I don't know, usually eaten raw. What?
There's no chicken.
Correct. No, this is a power vegetable soup. Right. So again, the more complicated that you get, then you're likely to have other things. This is a straight up a classic. Throw the vegetables in and throw in with a parv. No chicken stock, and just let it boil. It could be. There's a lot to say. So I, at a certain point, I was wondering if at some point it becomes like. Meaning, we'll see a similar svara today. Is it defined as a different dish just because it's a soup, and then we no longer look at the ingredients, but the dish itself becomes like something new? But we usually look at the ingredients. So, I don't know. Maybe we'll have more clarity on that as we go forward. But again, it was just this evening, somebody violated my no voice note rule and sent me a very long voice note with this question. But it seems to be a good point. But I didn't have a chance to look up what the post can say about it. Okay, so now we're going to look at the second of the conditions, which is that it needs to be something in order to be subject to Bishul Akum. It has to be Ola al Shulchan Melach. It has to be able to go up on the king's table. And we started to sort of introduce it last time as to, well, what is that going to mean? You could have the king, or again, we'll call it the president just because it's more relatable to us. You could have what the king is willing to eat and what the king is willing to serve at a function, we'll call it such as a state dinner. And what he's going to eat for his private breakfast, or even maybe his private lunch, and what he's going to serve to dignitaries, is potentially going to be, you know, worlds apart. So how do we define this over here? So the Aruch HaShulchan begins addressing this, and he's using potatoes as the example. The Aruch HaShulchan number 20, page 70, writes like this. Tapuche Adama, when it comes to potatoes, Nira Lenias Dait, it appears to me, Dizem Mikri Ein Olin Al Shulchan Melachim. Potatoes are considered to be something that would never go onto the king's table, and therefore, vim bishel hagoy osam rakbim aimbel vadavan nanju cooks it, just plain water, boiled potatoes, mashed potatoes, right? Cooks the potatoes, and you're going to mash them up, eat mashed potatoes. Oafa osam, bakes them, okay. Mutter li yisrael le'ochlam, not subject to Bishul Akum. Why? Diadua shehi achila pshuta. It's known that it is a very, very simple food. Virak dalo sa'am ochlim osom namarba, only the lower class eat it in abundance. Mipnean yusom dolka, because they can't afford anything else, right? Potatoes, they fill you up. They're cheap. So it's a good option if you can't afford a better quality food. But everybody eats potato kugel. Right, not just the dog. V'af shegam ashirim ochlim osam leprakim. Sometimes, occasionally, even the higher class, the wealthy people, will also eat potatoes. Zeh mipnei godel ribuyam. That's just becomes, there's a lot of them, so you need some filling, you need something else to put on the table, so you put it on the table. But not because it's a chashav of food. Meaning, we're not just looking at technically what would the king put on his table. We want, what the king would put on the table tells us, is the sign, is the simen, that this is a chashav of food. A chashav of food is really what we're concerned about. Why? So that's what we said last time, especially if the reason has to do with chasanos, it has to do with developing the relationships. So again, if the person makes you a chashav of food, then we're more concerned that whatever kind of relationship is going to develop. It would never go onto the king's table. Does that mean not at all? It means as a major dish, meaning it wouldn't go as a standalone something or other. It doesn't mean that he wouldn't put potatoes in a chicken, in a vegetable soup, I guess, that you're serving by the king. But in terms of it being chashav, it seems to be that the Aruch HaShulchan is looking at it as it's a dish made out of it itself. V'rak bizman bishum shem adayin rakim derech asar meknosam. And while they're cooking and they get very soft, so then the chashav people would purchase them and put them into other food and spices, meaning it's some sort of filler. But it's not that the potato itself is chashav. And therefore, if the potato isn't chashav, it should not be subject to bishul akum. That is the chiddush of the Aruch HaShulchan. We're not paskening yet, Lemaisa. Even though Aruch HaShulchan is about to say that one of the Gedolim disagreed. Ach matzasi the Gedol echad shekasav shetapuchei adama olan ashulchan melachem. Who's going from the Chai Adam, the Chachmas Adam, right? The Chai Adam, the Chachmas Adam, the same person. The Chai Adam is the Chai Adam's work on Orachayim. The Chachmas Adam is what he called it on Yoredeya. So what kind of strange machlokas is that, right? Is it all, I don't know, figure out what the criterion is to decide if something is Ola Shulchan Malachim, and then go out and investigate. So he suggests, in the times of the Chachmas, again, I don't know much about the history of potatoes. In the footnote here, he tries to go a little bit into the history of potatoes. It could be he's right. I really don't have no idea. But his suggestion is, the Aruch HaShulchan's suggestion is that in the times of the Chai Adam, potatoes were not so plentiful. So then it becomes exotic. And so it's like on Rosh Hashanah, we like to get into our new fruits. And we got these horned melons, like this. You know, you have like this weird like orange thing that's bright green inside. And we always wonder, like, is there like a place in the world where like you come home after school and your mother gives you like a horned melon to eat? Like there's somewhere presumably where it's normal to eat these things. So the same thing also, like to us, a potato is completely normal. But I guess if you were somewhere where they never had a potato before, wow, this potato's might not look like one of these fancy fruits, but it's very versatile. So he says it could be that in the times of the Chachmas Adam, potatoes were not so common. If they weren't so common, then it would be that the king is going to serve things that are exotic. That in and of itself makes something chashav. Right? Shelo yazeh benim, tzoy mecha chashav. Because it's been about 100 years since it came from, the potatoes came from the place across the sea. But here, I don't know, the Aruch HaShulchan is probably in Poland, I would imagine. I'm not sure exactly where the Aruch HaShulchan was, Russia, Poland. There are tons of them. That's what the average person eats, lots of potatoes. It is the most basic, simple food. And even the most tender and delicate person has more than enough of it, and there's plenty. Nearly as daiti the ancient. That is the chiddush of the Aruch HaShulchan. The Aruch HaShulchan says, he's told us a few things. The first thing that is very clear is the Aruch HaShulchan is telling us that Ola HaShulchan Malachim depends on time and place. Right? Because that's his answer to the contradiction, or as it were, the machlokas between him and the Chai Adam, is that the Aruch HaShulchan is basically saying, if I was living in the times of the Chai Adam, I would also say it's Ola HaShulchan Malachim. Because it was rare, it was exotic. But now, now things have changed. So what does that mean for us? So he writes in the little paragraph in the bottom of the three lines from the end. However, in contemporary times, the potato has once again become a distinguished food and one served at fancy dinners, right? Which I think is true. If you go to any steakhouse, on the menu with your $100 steak is going to be some sort of potatoes, and served again together with it, but not as an ingredient in it. You're going to get fancy fries or whatever they're going to make out of it. But it has many uses, but it certainly is olah shulchan malachim. Therefore, poskim today do consider it to be subject to bishul akum, as noted by Sefer HaKashrus that we will look at in one moment. So he points out something interesting in the footnote here, number 14. Number 11, if you're interested in the history of potatoes, is interested as well. You can look at that on your own time if you wish. But number 14, he discusses potato chips. Interesting related question whether potato chips are subject to the restrictions of Bishul Akum. On the one hand, they're made out of potatoes. But on the other hand, their form is totally changed from that of a potato that would be served at a king's table. Right? In that form, presumably, again, it could be nowadays that's changed also. You get all these fancy, like potato chips that they stick like into your something sticking up at a wedding. So I guess they found ways to make that chashuv also. But again, the classic potato chip is not something, a wise potato chip is not something which is chashuv enough that it's going to be ola al shulchan malachim. So what? Right. So the question is, if you have potatoes that are formed in a very significant form, if you have potatoes that are served in a distinct form, that would not be olah al shulchan malachim, and it's a whole, and it's really like a different process, right? You're slicing it. Would that change? I mean, do we look at the potato, and once the potato is olah al shulchan malachim, it doesn't matter what you do with it, and you turn it into potato chips? Okay, potato chips happen to not be, but who cares? You started with the potato. Or do you say, no, there are different ways of doing things. The potato, again, you can make pizza for Pesach out of potatoes also somehow. Right? Potatoes can be used for anything. So do we look at what it's being used as, or do we look at the potato itself? So the suggestion here, if you saw Belsky's quote as holding that they're not subject to Bishul Akum, while Rav Moshe Feinstein may have felt, I'm not sure exactly what that means, that they are. I would imagine... Again, I didn't have a chance to look at the article in the journal, the RJJ journal, our potato subject to the prohibition of Bishul Akum. That was before people tried getting into like sticky titles, like our potato subject to Bishul Akum, right? Straightforward. I would think that the question is rooted in this point, meaning they're both going to agree that potatoes are at times and many times olah al shulchan malachim. But does that mean that no matter what you do with it, it's going to be subject to Bishul Akum? Or are there distinct forms of what you'll do with a potato, and certain forms they're just not considered to be chashuv? And if you did that, it's not subject to Bishul Akum. And I can logically argue for either side, for either opinion. Right? If you want to look at the food, so we'll say, okay, it might be that the particular item I'm making out of it is not chashuv, but this is something which is used to make devarim chashuv, important things. Or I might say the whole problem, the whole concern, is that we're going to become close together because we're eating these chashuv foods. This is a very different form. It's not a chashuv food. A potato chip is not something of any consequence, not something of any significance. That is an interesting machlokas. So he says here, and again, we're going to go through a few of the... very halacha lemaisa questions when it comes to Bishul Akum. It goes here from the Sefer Kashrus again. Hagdaras on page 72. Hagdaras davar olah shulchan malachim tuluya lemaisa b'makom v'zman. Okay, like we said beforehand, the definition of olah shulchan malachim will depend on time and place. V'yeshnam dvarim shemishtanim lo ha'metzias ha'achshavis kamefuret b'ha'ara. He says that it's going to change according to what the reality is on the ground in the place where you are at this moment. So he quotes Rei Orach Hashulchan Sheba Avar in the past Tapuchei Adamim Visha Uis Nechshavu Keinim Olah Shulchan Malachim. Udiver Orach Hashulchan Michael Pashimor. Right, the Orach Hashulchan just argued that potatoes are a very simple food, and therefore they're not Olah Shulchan Malachim. Ulemaisa Kevin Shemagishim Mitzuro Shonos Tapuchei Adama Visha Uis Shuv Nechshavu Das Abos Nigalan Shulchan Malachim. But we know that they are served at times in different forms. Pichlaus, pitrios, vetiros, mushrooms, and corn. Right? In different forms, you will have mushrooms. Again, take the steakhouse menu. Right? You will have mushrooms in some form. You'll have corn in some form. All these things can be made in a way that is chashuv. Or it's gamkin, even rice, which again, we might have said is considered not so important, but it's made into these significant dishes. Okay. Chumas is too far. I don't know. It depends on the dignitary who's going to serve. I don't know. Netanyahu would probably serve you chumas, I would imagine. I don't know. And falafel, not sure. Sugar, chocolate, sugar, sardinim. Oh. We're going to talk more about sardinim in a moment. Sardinim, enam ola shulchan melachim. Sardines are not ola shulchan melachim. Whether they should be ola on eli shulchan, we discussed a little bit last time. Okay. But certainly not shulchan melachim. It's v'kach na'ogu geonim v'tzadikim. They were geonim and tzadikim who were not concerned. Again, as long as they knew what the sardine was. Again, it has its fins and scales on it, I think, when you're eating it still. They were not concerned about bishalakim when it came to sardines. Prat the dagit tuna shesvichem bishul yisrael dafka, but tuna is different. Why is tuna different? Because tuna is much more chashuv. Tuna is much more chashuv because again, tuna as steaks will be served certainly al shulchan melachim. Meaning, fish is not what he's pointing out here at the end. Is fish is not one category. It's not one category. It's going to depend on the type of fish. So if you have a fish such as sardines, which is probably an extreme, which would never be ola shulchan melachim, right? That would not be subject to bishalakum. Now, when you have something like tuna, we're going to have a fascinating discussion in a second. That's what he's going to talk on the bottom. Let's look at the OU's OU's insight in terms of number 22, right? So we could see a distinction between tuna and the sardines, but within tuna, there's an interesting distinction, right? You're starting out, I think, technically, with the same tuna. It's a very different culinary experience whether you're having, you know, your seared tuna steak or your chicken of the sea or whatever it is. So he writes like this, number 22. Essentially, the halachic position of the OU is that canned fish does not become forbidden as a result of bishul akum, since the fish is not suitable for a state dinner. Right? This is very, very similar to what we just said about the potato chips. Right? It's the same item, but if it's cooked in a way, and it's not just like a one-time way, but there's a specific process that makes a different product, and that would never be olal shulchan melachim, right? And this is what we mentioned a little bit last night. I think it comes up a little bit later on, but like I think he has on the bottom of the next page, he has it. Right? The White House chef said they would never use these canned items in a state dinner. So therefore, the canned version would not be subject to bishul akum. Now that's going to be a huge kula, because if you can have a factory that is producing it and you don't have to worry about bishul akum, the amount that you need a Jew to participate has now gone down. Now you just need to make sure there's nothing mixed in with the tuna that's not kosher. But you don't need any Jew participating in cooking it.
But canned in general, of anything, takes away both of your research. Takes away the fact that you're eating with another person, meaning you're not going to a hasana with somebody because of a can. Meaning cans are prepared, millions of cans are prepared.
So some have that cooler by factories. There should be more of a cooler by factories because
right.
Yeah.
So we'll,
also,
you're not worried about maybe
we'll get to that in a moment. Then he writes, this argument is strongest for sardines, which are not gourmet fish, right? Sardines, the whole category of sardines is not ola shulchan melachim in any form. Indeed, the Levush and Mordechai testified that many European Torah scholars, that's what was quoted in the Sefer Kashrus beforehand, and great tzaddikim ate sardines which were prepared by Gentiles, though this was not a universal practice. Tuna and salmon are higher quality fish, and tuna steaks and baked salmon are certainly served at elegant dinners, right? Nonetheless, this is what we were trying to say beforehand. The manner in which canned fish is prepared renders them inappropriate for a meal of the aristocracy. A gourmet chef would not attempt to prepare an exquisite fish platter with canned tuna, salmon, or sardines. So what did he just say? Exactly what we said by the potato chips. That the kula of bishul akum being Olam Shulchan Malachim is if that entire category, even if the type of fish can be served in a way that would go on a fancy table, if it's being prepared right now in a specific tzura that never would be, that's not subject to Bishul Akum in that way. Coupled with this is the ruling of Moshe Feinstein mentioned that Bishul Akum does not apply to a factory. That has to do with the point you were making. Now, I don't know why he says it earlier. There must have been a change in the thing. As he says in note number 16, see footnote 36, which obviously is not before. Footnote 36 is later. I did not just look at 36. Is there a footnote 36? It would be funny if there isn't. I look at steaming. So if you look at the third line in 36 on page 86, moreover, Moshe Feinstein decided by Rav Nutta Greenblatt as ruling leniently for any type of cooking performed specifically in the context of factory in cases where it could not be possibly done in one's private home. Because the concern of her close intermarriage is not applicable where the consumer could never meet the Gentile performing the cooking. Now that's a little bit different. You have to make sure that it's clear. Even if Moshe was only makel if it is a type of cooking that would never be able to be done at home. Not because it happens to be done in a factory. It has to categorically be something nobody would do at home. Steaming cans, as he's going to describe in a second, is not something that anybody would be able to do at home. Therefore, that is potentially not subject to Bishul Akum at all, which again would be a very big cool. I'm not sure if that alone, the kosher agencies do rely on that or not. Okay, but that's an interesting distinction. Then he writes, back on page 72, in the case of tuna, there is an additional mitigating factor. Unlike salmon and sardines, which are first cooked in the sealed can, tuna is steamed in a steam chamber before it is packed and recooked in the can. It is questioned whether food that was steamed by a non-Jew is prohibited because of Bishul Akum. Okay. So again, I don't really understand exactly how canned food is made, but apparently, as opposed to being cooked in the can, it's steamed when it comes to the tuna. Okay, good. The Shulchan Aruch makes it clear, though, and we mentioned this last time, so there's also an important point to clarify. Makes it clear that smoking does not constitute Bishul Akum, and it is debatable whether steam has the same status as smoking. Rav Yitzchak Weiss at Sal rules that there is no Bishul Akum for products steamed in a factory, since there are two Sveikos. And maybe there's no Bishul for steam processing. Maybe there's no Bishul Akum in a factory. The workers are unknown to the consumer, like that Svara of Rav Moshe. Although we would not rely on either consideration, Rav Weiss allows a lean ruling when both factors are present. Okay. So that helps. Again, so it seems clear that at least the OU is willing to take the position that if you have an item which can be Olah Shulchan Malachim in one form, but there's a completely different form of the same item that would not be Olah Shulchan Malachim, that is not subject to Bishul Akum. Again, it's a pretty big kula. Oh. The next question is how you define it. Right, another aspect of the rule being served at Shulchan Malachim, a king's table, that is not so clear how to define the term. It's referred to any food that would be eaten by a prominent dignitary or equivalent of a king at any meal, right? This is what we opened up with. Does it depend what the president would eat in his own home for breakfast or lunch or dinner? Or is it referred to foods eaten at an official state dinner or the equivalent? So Rabbi Jack, the Shlita notes that this appears to be subject to Machlokas Achronim. Let's see how he summarizes it. Number 23. A most significant exception that the food must be Olah Shulchan Malachim suitable for king's table. This rule can be interpreted in two possible ways, like we just said. The Chazon Ish, cited by Rav Schwab, believes that it refers to food that is not of poor quality and would be eaten by a very wealthy person. Again, what was it? Believes that it refers to food that is not of poor quality and would be eaten by a wealthy person. So it's the quality of the specific food. The Chazon Ish ruled that canned sardines cooked by non-Jews were forbidden because the king of England eats sardines for breakfast, in quotes. Meaning, we look at something that is not beneath the dignity of an important / wealthy person to eat. And if the king of England will eat those, then that becomes subject to Bishul Akum. The Aruch HaShulchan seems to agree with the strict ruling of Chazon Ish. Rav Schwab, though, notes that many of the great Rosh Hashir pre-war Eastern Europe ate sardines cooked by non-Jews. They're all coming off that same source, I think, from the Lavush, who said that there were tzaddikim and geonim who ate it. The practice of the Rosh Yeshiva appears to be in accordance with Rav Soloveitchik's interpretation. Rav Soloveitchik believes that Olah Shulchan Malachim means the food has to be suitable to be served at a state dinner. Right, this distinction.
That makes more sense, obviously, because if you talk about a personal taste, a king's personal taste, just because you're wealthy, you have taste that is weird, like a trumpet burger, doesn't mean that makes it all the al shulchan. Like your wealth level shouldn't determine.
So, yes and no. Yes and no. Again, if it's about, I think you're right that if it's that there's a person has their own. Happens to be wealthy and happens to have an idiosyncrasy that they eat this, then we probably would ignore it. I don't think he was saying like the king of England happens to do it. I think he's saying that it's normal that the king of England eats sardines, right? People that, I think, again, if anybody can feel free to disagree with me, I think people that eat sardines actually think they're good.
Sardines are passé now, but at one period of time in the 30s and the 20s and the 40s, sardines were.
So was that because we were poor and they were cheap?
No, it was a delicacy. They made it was a okay. Oil. They made it in tomatoes. They made it all like, different. Yeah, right.
I remember the key.
I remember.
So my Zadie ate sardines. Yeah. I didn't eat the sardines.
That's why they said the Chachamim made sardines also because
that can't be. No, because then they wouldn't rely on. Again, they're assuming that it's not subject to Bishul Akum, so that it was plentiful, right? No, they all ate it. I know. I whenever I went to my grandparents' house, there was piles of sardines. That I remember. But again, my Zaidi was a very tough chacham, but he certainly wasn't the dignitary. I don't think he cared. He wanted to eat whatever my bubby served him. That's what he ate. He didn't care. The point was, one second, if we're going to assume that the kula is true, that they were willing to do it, at least at those times. And maybe what the Chazon Ish is saying is that the times changed. In the times when the king of England was eating it, then it became. Before that, it was more of a punishment. Maybe that's the answer.
But even then, it wouldn't be served in a steak dinner.
No, but it doesn't need to be. The point is that it's a...
That's the machlokas.
Right. But again, in terms of making more sense, I don't know which one makes more sense. Because again, if it's chashuv enough that a king would, would eat it, and that would be considered to be normal, so then if your neighbor is making it for you, then that's considered to be that they're making you a real food. Yeah.
It says shochet, it doesn't say what kings eat.
It could be his private table for lunch, or it could be his public table.
Why should it could say shulchan?
What should it say? I don't know. Olah shulchan melachim, the table of the king. The king has his table on the second floor of the White House, and then he has the one in the Eastern Wing ballroom, whatever it is.
Only the one that everybody's invited to. Newspapers put it on the front page.
Don't know. Don't know.
It's wherever he eats. That's the
wherever
king.
He eats.
So that's the.
It's like Air Force One.
That is the. That's what the. So again, that's the machlokes between the Rav and the Chazon Ish. Again, which one's more? So, and again, I guess that's what you're explaining is where the Chazon Ish was coming from. Is that it reached a period of time where again it may not have been a delicacy, but it was certainly a normal food that people ate. The same way, again, tuna or maybe tuna is a bad example, but I don't know, some other kind of salmon. Not gefilte fish, but like salmon is not only eaten by the wealthy; it can be eaten by regular people also. Again, but it's considered to be a significant food. But if somebody gave us salmon, we'd be like, "Whoa, I can't believe they served me salmon!" You know, it's chashuv enough that again that it has a certain amount of chashivas to it. Okay. Rav Salvajic's interpretation has great implications. According to his approach, almost no canned food would be included in the Bishul Akum provision because food served at a state dinner is cooked fresh. Now that line. By Rabbi Jachter is assuming that we're going to again. There are two different points. You can learn like the Rav that has to go to Shulchan Melacha, and you could still understand that it goes by item and it doesn't go by the way that it was cooked. He's assuming that it goes by the way that it was cooked, and that if it was cooked in a way that it wouldn't go onto the Shulchan Melacha, then automatically it's not going to be subject to that would allow it to not be subject to Bishul Akum. You could learn that no. Then no, as long as it's also cooked in a way that's olah shulchan melachim, then that whole food is thrown out the door. So the OU paskined for themselves not that way. They said that it does depend on the type, and canned food would be excluded, but it does not necessarily have to follow.
The nafka mina would be whether they would serve the president or the king in his own private dining room something from a can. That would be the nafka mina. Because right now, as
right.
a dinner, you said, remember you said that someone asked to try the to the steak.
It's coming up. It's coming up. It's coming right now.
And they said
we're going to see it. We're going to see it. We're going to see it right now. Okay. Again, so according to the Chazon Ish, any food that is of good quality that would be eaten by a king or high dignitary, any meal would be subject to shalakim. According to the Rav, only foods that would be served at a fancy state dinner are included, which limits the types of food that would be included. It would seem that the more accepted practice today is to follow the second approach. This approach is expressed by Rav Heinemann of the Star King. The following excerpt from an article on Bishul Akum. Here we go. Foods that are not prestigious and would not be served at king's table when hosting individuals late dinner, e.g., baked beans or cornflakes. Interesting. These foods are permitted because a person does not experience deep felt gratitude and appreciation when someone warms up a can of string beans. Therefore, cooking non-prestigious food would not bring on feelings of closeness between preparer and recipient. Any food that would not be served at a wedding feast because it is not elegant. Ooh. Anybody been to a wedding on Hanukkah? Is there any wedding on Hanukkah that does not have donuts?
The White House. I was at the White House Hanukkah party last night. They had donuts.
You were at the White House Hanukkah party last night?
Wow.
Of course, my wife.
And they had donuts.
Yeah, but
they had
donuts.
Okay. So we'll have to, we'll eliminate the parentheses there. Would certainly not qualify Bishul Akum. Again, this is saying an even bigger chiddush, right? This is saying that you look at the particular food. If this is the type of food, baked beans, there are plenty of bean dishes that would be Olah Shulchan Malachim. But baked beans, I happen to like baked beans. But, like, baked beans are appropriate for a hot dog. Like, you know, like, it's not what you're expecting when you go to the White House. I assume they do not serve hot dogs at the White House dinner. Okay. Because of that, so we're certainly not qualified, but you'll come. The Star K asked the White House executive chef what the White House banquet policy is regarding the use of canned products at dinners. A specific question was, what is the policy regarding canned cranberry sauce? Wow. You have to know. As American as it gets. We also asked whether potato chips are served at state dinners. The chef's response was, turn the page, as follows. We would serve whatever the guest wants. However, we never served potato chips, nor do we ever use canned goods. Everything is prepared fresh. Everything is prepared fresh. It's an interesting stira between the beginning and the end, right? We would do whatever the guest wants. But they never have. No guest would ever ask them for potato chips. It sounds like if somebody did, they would give it to them. But again, I don't think that's a kasha, because that's not the Shulchan Malachim. If a particular person wants something, it's because afal pi that I'm sitting at the Shulchan Malachim, right? Notwithstanding that I'm sitting there, I want my hamburger and fries.
That gives more credit to the state dinner approach versus...
Well, that's what they're going with. They're going with the state dinner. This is within the state dinner approach.
Right.
This is what kasha was. That meant this whole statement was. Now again, he points out in the bottom, which again it's significant, but it's not.
Right.
What?
One of the presidents had one of the winning football teams.
Right. I don't know.
That's not a state dinner. That's not like a.
Right.
What they wanted.
Right. Exactly. It's what he thought was appropriate.
There's also a political point that was being done with that.
Right.
Forgot the story.
Yeah, it's hard to know from the last few years. You can prove anything.
Years of Trump had to be excluded from all
it could be. So he points out on the bottom. Okay, just as a practical note, which is important, right? It's important. Don't ask those Rav Heinemann. In a note, they argue that if food was first cooked before the canning process, then at the time it's perfectly fit for use at a state dinner, and subsequent canning does not remove the proscription of Bishul Akum. Right, meaning, if the food is cooked first, and then they can it, so that's even though they wouldn't use that at the White House, that's not going to make something which was already usher because of the cooking, and now matur it. So again, it's a fascinating discussion. There are, okay, maybe I'll send something. Maybe I'll post something or something like that, or I could send it next time, or go over it. There are articles that go through from some of the kosher agencies, like a whole host of different foods, trying to figure out which ones are Olah Shulchan Malachim and which ones are not. But again, at least we have a. It seems to be that the consensus of majority of the poskim is that we look at the state dinner. We don't just look at what the person would have. and that we're willing to look at the way a particular food is made. And if there's a particular way that a food is made, which would never go onto the state, even though that food otherwise would be served, that also would not be subject to bishulakam. How often does it come up? It doesn't come up that frequently. This is going to get us out of problems at home. I don't know how much these things come up, but for the kosher agencies, it certainly is helpful. The next topic is interesting. I don't want to rush through. It's short, but I want to make sure we do it right. Is bishulakam when it comes to liquid? It's also a little bit relevant. It's not really relevant to the first 2 points that we had, but it's a little bit relevant to that question regarding the soup. It's most relevant is a cup of coffee. So again, I want to make sure that we do that the right way. So we will leave that. So next week, in Mirtz Hashem, I will not be here. I'm supposed to be flying to Eretz Yisrael. I am, hopefully, the Tuesday after that is Asar B'Teves. I'm landing that morning. I don't know, between fasting and then jet lag, we should probably learn. It'll keep me awake. So if people otherwise are game, why not, right? Okay.
January 3rd.
If I decide last minute, I'll try to get something out. But it'll be good to stay awake.
Would tea be more of a problem than coffee?
You have to wait. We'll talk about it.